Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Menachos Daf Chav Dalid. We left off yesterday, and Daf Chav Gimel and Beis Elishadomi left off four lines before the lines get wide at Tashema. That's kind of where I left off also in the Shir in Chicago. So that's where we will pick up today. Beis Hashem, today's Shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas's mother, Golda Basimcha Lea Shalom, as well as by Morris Tobin, Lezecher Nishmas, God Ben Yehuda, whose yahrzeit is Shabbos, Neshama Shavna Aliyah. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So first thing we're going to do is finish up the discussion from yesterday, whether we go basar the mevatel or the batel in determining what's considered min b'mino, min b'she'eino mino, meaning if you assume that when something has the potential to be like something else, that would qualify as min b'mino, whereas when it does not have the potential to be like something else, it would not qualify as min b'mino. Well, what has to be like what? Is it the majority that has the potential to be like the minority, or the minority that has the potential to be like the majority? So yesterday we did two rayas, and now we're going to do another two rayas, a third one from our Mishnah, and then one from outside of our Mishnah. Then the rest of the daf is pretty much going to talk about one topic, and that is the topic of tziruf kli, that when you put, that when there are multiple things inside of the same kli for a karban mincha, that it's considered that they're all together, even if they're not mamish touching one another. So the Gemara is going to talk about what if a tevul yom touches half of an isaruna flower in a kli? Does that impact the other half of isaruna flower that's in that same kli because of tziruf kli? Then the Gemara is going to talk about, can you take a kmitza from half an isaron of flower that's in a kli that's not touching the other half of an isaron, but it's in the same kli? So do we assume tziruf kli works for the kmitza to cover both half isaronim of challah? Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether tziruf kli even works to connect to a third chatzi yisaron that's outside of the kli. So let's say you have a chatzi yisaron outside of a kli that is somehow physically connected to a chatzi yisaron inside the kli, and then there's another chatzi yisaron of flower not touching the other chatzi yisaron inside the kli. So is can tuma transfer from point one to point to point three, from point A to point C, through the one that's in between? Then the Gemara is going to question the concept of savalotuma, the concept that if something becomes tameh when it is already tameh, does the second tuma have any impact? So let's say you have a tevul yom that touches something, then another tevul yom comes by and touches it. So did that do anything? So pashtus is it does nothing, and lamay nafkamina whether it does anything. The item is tameh anyway. What if that first tuma goes away? Does the second tuma now become operative if that first tuma goes away? So the Gemara is going to have rayas as to whether that's the case or not. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about if, let's say, you have a chatzi isaron of your karban mincha, half of an isaron of the karban mincha was lost, so you replaced it with another chatzi isaron, and then you found the original chatzi isaron, so now you have, instead of two chatzi isarons, you have three chatzi isarons, and they're all in the kli. So what are the rules of tziruf kli? Are they all mitzarev to one another? Is the original mitzarev to the one that was the chatzi yisaron that was never lost, but not to the one that it was meant to replace it? Is the replacement mitzarev? So both in terms of tuma as well as in terms of kmitza, and that discussion brings us to the end of the daf. So again, we're picking up four lines get wide on daf chav gimel beis, tashema, whether basar batel, basar mevatel zinan. Remember, we had this machlokas between Rav Chista and Rabbi Chanina within the Shita of Rabbi Chia, that if you assume that min b'mino does not become batel, and Rabbi Chia added this caveat, yeah, but min b'mino does not become batel, but if something does not even have the potential to be like the other min on a halachic level, then that would be considered min b'she'eino mino. If it has the potential to be like the other min, then that's a full min b'mino. But how do I determine what's considered to be, have the potential to be like the other min? Do I look at the rov, which is the mevatel, or do I look at the miut, which is the batel? So that was a machlokas between Rav Chista and Rav Chanina. So Tashma says Gemara, Raya number three, Nisariv kumtsu b'shirayim shel chavirta lo yaktir. If the komets of one karban mincha got mixed in with the shirayim of another karban mincha, you cannot be maktir this mixture. V'im hiktir, but if you are maktir this mixture, also the bailim. It counts as a fulfillment of the chiyuv of being makter the komets of the mincha. V'ahacha delohavi mevatel kabatil. In this case, the mevatel, which is the shirayim, can never become like the komets, which is the batel, because once something is shirayim, it can't become komets anymore. Tevel can become komets, but once you've already taken the kmitza from something, so you have the komets and you have the shirayim, neither one can be like the other, and that's why some have the gear, so v'lo batel kimevatel, nor can the komets, which is the batel, ever become like the shirayim, which is the mevatel, so neither one can be like the other one, and that, in that way, this is the strongest of the three kashas, v'lo kamevatel le shirayim le komets, and the shirayim is not mevatel the komets, because if it were mevatel it, then the komets would not be olu l'bailim l'shem chova. By virtue of the fact that we said that if you're makter it counts, and it must be nothing here was batel, which means that this is a real min bimino. So even though neither one can be like the other, it's a real min bimino. That's a kasha on both Rabbi Chanina and Rav Chista, because regardless of whether you go bas to the batel or the mevatel, so money, e rabbanon, so we go through the whole spiel, v'chule, we don't even spell it out again. If we're assuming like the rabbanon, then none of this makes any sense, because the rabbanon don't care about min b'mino or min b'she'eno mino. They just hold that olin are in mevatel and zuazu, but min b'mino can absolutely become batel. So the Mishnah must be going like Rabbi Yehuda, who speaks the language of min b'mino. He says min b'mino does not become batel. But over here, whether you assume like Rav Chisra, whether you assume like Rabbi Chanina, this taroves should have the status within Rabbi Chia's worldview of min b'she'eino mino, because neither one can be like the other. And apparently, it's assuming that there's no bittel, even though according to Rabbi Chia, there should be bittel, because it should have the status of min b'she'eino mino. So answer the Gemara, Am Rabbi Zeira, Nemra Akhtar B'Komets, Nemra Akhtar B'Shirayim. This is where Rabbi Zeira said his original limud that we kept referring to yesterday, that it says the phrase haktara, but with regard to the komets, when it talks about the mitzvah to be maktir, and it says the word haktara in regard to the shirayim, when it talks about not being maktir, you're not supposed to be maktir the shirayim, so we make a gzeira shava, ma haktara amura b'komets, ain't komets mevatel schadero, just like haktara with regard to the komets, a komets cannot be mevatel another komets, af haktara mubishrayim, ain't shirayim mevatel mas a komets. So too, Shirayim can likewise not be Mevatel the Komets. So it's a special Gzeres HaKosov. But any other Taroves that would be of a similar setup, the Miut would become Batel in the Rov, because it would be considered Min B'She'eino Mino. But over here, we have a special Gzeres HaKosov based on this Gzeres Shava to tell me that there is no Bittel that's operative. And now, Toshima, the fourth and final Raya. Let's say Tibla B'Ketzach. You spice your matzah dough with some type of spicing, and b'shumshmin, b'chol minei tevalin, whatever type of spices you have, k'sheira. You could be yotzei the mitzvah of achilas matzah on the first night of Pesach with this matzah. Matzahi el shenikres matzah mitubeles. It's still matzah, it's just spiced matzah. So kasal k'day t'chta apishla tavlin tfei mi matzah. The assumption over here is that we're talking about that there's more, quantitatively, there's more tavlin than there is of the dough itself. And nevertheless, the tavlin is not mevatel that dough. Well, why isn't the tavlin mevatel that dough? Well, bishlam mamad yom rabasar batel as linan. I understand very well, according to Rabbi Chanina, who holds that we go with the item that's becoming batel. So over here, batel have kimevatel. The flour can turn into the tavlin. It can become like the tavlin in that it can lose the quality of matzah. Dilchima apshav leke tavlin. Once it spoils, it becomes like spices, because you can't be yotze yuchiyuv of matzah with it once it spoils, and therefore that would make it a taroves of min b'mino, and min b'mino is not batel, so you could be yotze your chiyuv of matzah because the matzah shabo is not batel. But el mandi amr basar mevatel azlinan. But according to Rav Chista, that we go with the mevatel, we go with the item of greater quantity. Tavlin mikav matzah? Can tavlin ever become matzah? Tavlin can never have anything that happens to it that makes it matzah, that's ratwi to be yotzei, the mitzvah of matzah on the first night of Pesach. And since there's nothing that could happen to the tavlin that will make it into matzah, that lechora turns this into a tarovas of min b'she'eino mino. And therefore, bittel should be operative, and therefore you should not be able to be yotzei your mitzvah on the first night of Pesach. So the Gemara explains, no, according to Rav Chista, hacha b'mayaskinan, dilo apish la tavlin. No, the case over here is that you have the ratios wrong. Deruba matzihi velo betela. We're not talking about where there's more tavlin than there is matzah. There's more matzah than there is tavlin, which l'chara is very mistaver. Who makes a bread with more seasoning than they have bread itself? So Tosfos points out, even according to the Havamina was not that it's a greater amount of seasoning than bread in the entire matzah. It meant that there was a clump of seasoning somewhere in that matzah, and maybe that's where you ate your kazayis, that you bit into your kazayis. Kazayis is not that big, right? It's about the size of an olive. So you bit into your kazayis, dafka in a place where there was a large clump of seasoning, and dafka in that spot on the matzah that the tavlin was greater. That was the hava amina. There couldn't have been a hava amina that some new recipe has more tavlin than there is flour in the matzah. And the maskana, it's not, it was just evenly distributed, and therefore there's no space where there's more tavlin than there is matzah. And dekanami, it's meduyik this way, dekatani, matzahi, el shenikris matzah mitubeles. By saying matzahi, you're saying that is the rove. The rove is clearly the matzah, so shema mina. So that taka is a good raya. Now this last raya is a little bit different than all the other rayas that we had. Tosfos points out, over in all of the others, the flavor of all of the parts of the taroves were the same, right? By all the other rayas, it was about the komets mixing with the shirayim or mixing with the tevel. It was all the same stuff. It's flour, it's oil, it's whatever the ingredients are of a korban mincha. So the taste of everything is the same. Over here, the tam of the matzah and the tam of the tavlin are not the same. So since there is tam matzah in the taroves, that should be good enough to be yotzei your mitzvah on Pesach, because Gemara Zvachim Tafayin Ches, as long as that's tam matzah, you yotzei the mitzvah on Pesach. So Tosfos says that you have to say that our sugya disagrees with that sugya in Zvachim and holds that we don't go baser the tam. Even if the tam is a different tam, you're not going to be yotzei even if it retains tam matzah, you're not going to be yotzei the mitzvah on Pesach. Okay, so let's begin the new sugya. This is Tziruf Kli, this is what takes up the whole rest of the daf, in some way or another. So Kisalik Rav Kahana, when Rav Kahana went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Lashkechinu l'Bnei Rabbi Chiyah di'Yasi v'Kamri, he ran into the Bnei Rabbi Chiyah. Bnei Rabbi Chiyah were Yehuda and Chizkiyah. They were twins, and they were that were born a few months apart. They were an interesting story, but they were the Bnei Rabbi Chiyah. Tells us in Maseches Gittin writes that Rav Kahana left Bavel and went to Eretz Yisrael while the Bnei Rabbi were still alive, but he must have gone at other times as well, because there are other places in Shas where he went to Eretz Yisrael after Chizkiyah, the Ben Rabbi Chiyah, had already died. So he apparently, unusual for those times, went more than once to travel to Eretz Yisrael. So anyway, so Rav Kahana went to Eretz Yisrael. He ran into Chizkiyah and Rabbi Yehuda, the Bnei Rabbi Chiyah, Diyasvi v'Kamri, and he saw that they were sitting and they were saying, Yisaron Shechalak, the Nicho B'Bisa. Let's say you took the Yisaron, a flower of a Korban Mincha, you divided it into two, but then you put it into the same Kli Shares where they would typically mix the Korban Mincha. So they're not touching one another, but they're in the same kli. V'naga tvul yom be'chad mehen, and some of the tvul yom touches one of these half isarons that are in this kli. Mahu. So what's the din about the other chatzi isaron? Does that become tameh as well? The tvul yom is metameh, the half isaron that he touches. Does the tziruf kli make the other half isaron tameh as well? So kit nan kli mitzdarif masha betocho la kodesh hani milihech de nagi ba'adadi. Because maybe we could say that we know there is a concept of Tziruf Kli, but maybe that concept of Tziruf Kli only applies when the two items touch one another. But maybe when they're not touching each other, then Tziruf Kli does not help. Or maybe Tziruf Kli is Mitzarif, whatever's in the Kli, whether it's touching each other or not. In fact, the Olah Shlomo raises the question that if they're touching each other, why do you need Tziruf Kli? The other part should be Tameh because it's touching the first part. So just through Negiah, it should be Tameh. Forget about Tziruf Kli. Even if we're not in the Kli, we're just out on the table and one part was touching the other. So he says that our sugya is following the Shita of the Chachamim, who hold in Maseches Me'ilah, that a Tevul Yom is not Metameh Ochlim to the extent that it can be Metameh other things, can only Pasal Ochlim. And Ochel that's Nifsal has no impact on other Ochlim that it touches. So the only way the second half of this Yisaron is going to become Tameh is if we view it as if the Tevul Yom is touching it too. That it can't be that, the Tevul Yom touched half number one, so half number two, by virtue of touching half number one, becomes Tameh. It wouldn't travel that far. It has to be that it's as if when he touches the first half, he's touching both halves simultaneously. That's what we have to view it as. So the question is that true? Does that work, Ali Deit Tziruf Kli, even if they're not touching one another? So Rav Kahana said to the Bnei Rabbi Chiya, Mitnan Kli Mechaber, Kli Mitzarif Tanan Koldehu. It doesn't say that the Kli is Mechaber, which would imply that they're mamish, we're talking about where they're mamish touching each other, and the Kli makes them that it's not just that they're touching each other, but they become Chaticha Achas Mamish, they become even more connected. No, it says Kli Mitzarif, that even if they're not fully a single unit, the Kli is Mitzarif them. So that implies even if they're not touching one another, a Tevul Yom touching one half of the Yisaron does have an impact on the other half of the Yisaron. So the Bnei Reb Chiya then asks Vayter, Hoshet Echel Libeinehen Mahu. What if you put an additional Chatzi Yisaron that's not really part of this Karban Mincha between the two Chatzi Yisarons of the Karban Mincha, and a Tevul Yom touches the middle Chatzi Yisaron? Does that metame the two Chatzi Yisarons that are that belong to the Karban Mincha? So he says, Tzarech l'kli kli mitzarfo. Ein tzarech l'kli, ein a kli mitzarfo. That anything that requires being in a kli shares, like the portions of a Karban Mincha, then the kli will be mitzarif, as if it's one unit. But that which does not need to be in a kli, namely this extra chatzi yisaron that someone just threw in there for some reason, the kli is not mitzarif, and therefore the two halves of an yisaron that belong to the Karban Mincha, that are the Karban Mincha, are not impacted by the Tevul Yom touching this third Chatzi Yisaron. So then they ask the third Shaila. Hosh Tevul Yom Esetz Ba'o Beinehen. What if he doesn't touch? There is no third Chatzi Yisaron, and he doesn't touch anything. He puts it, the Tevul Yom puts his finger in between the two Chatzi Yisarons that are in the Kli. So Mahu, is that enough to be Metameh, the Mincha that's in that Kli? So Amlu, Eilecha Dovash Metameh Aviro, L'Kli Cheres B'Vad. What are you talking about, they say? Why would that possibly be Metameh? The only time Tumah can transfer through the avir of a Kli is in a Kli Cheres. You dangle a Sheretz in a Kli Cheres, so the Kli Cheres becomes Tameh. But other than that, outside of Kli Cheres, absolutely not. So the Tevul Yom sticking his finger in the avir of Kli, of course, has no impact, because over here we're talking about a Bisa, a type of Kli that they would be used to mix the ingredients of the Karban Mincha, and it was not a Kli Cheres. The Achronim raised the question, what was even the Hava Amina, that it should be Mekabel Tuma? So they suggest maybe the fact that there's Tziruf Kli makes it as if the Kli is full of that Karban Mincha. That and therefore when he puts his finger in the Kli, it's as if he's touching the Karban Mincha itself. Hard to understand. Okay, Hadar Ihu Bai Minayu. Then once they're having a conversation, Rav Kahana says, let me ask you something. You took full advantage by asking me three Shailas, so let me ask you a Shaila. Mal Likmotz Mizeh Alzeh. What if you have two Chatzi Yisorans of a Mincha that are both in the same Kli, they're not touching one another, can you take a kamitza from one Chatzi Yisaron and have it cover the entire Karban Mincha? That just like Tziruf Kli is a halacha in Dine Tumah, that if you're metame half of the Yisaron, the other half of Yisaron is impacted by Tziruf Kli, maybe it should work in the positive as well, that when you take a kamitza from one half of an Yisaron, The kmitza works for the whole thing. So, and the suffix is tziruv daraisa drabanan. Is this concept of tziruv kli a din mi daraisa, where we really, really view it as if it's as if it's one kli by the korbanos and the siyim by chanukas hamizbeach in parshas Naso, it says kaf achas, and the gemara in Maseches Chagiga says that akas v'asol l'kol masha bekaf achas, that whatever is in one kli becomes achas. That sounds like a din mi daraisa. If it's a din mi daraisa, we would say it bein l'kula bein l'chumra, right? So we would say it not only about Tumah, but we'd say it about Kmitza as well. We can even apply it Lukula. Or, but if it's only a din midrabanan, so the Rabbanan can make a Chumra, they're not going to make a Kula, they're not going to allow a Kometz to work on when it shouldn't have worked on a Daraisa level. So that's what's behind this Shaila. So Amrlo, so the Bnei Reb Chiya said back to Rav Kana, Zolo Shamanu. As far as that particular Shaila, we don't have a tradition about it, but Kayotze Bo Shamanu, but we have a tradition about a similar Shaila, maybe we can make a Tzushtel. And it says in our Mishnah, you have two carbonos mincha that you have not taken the kmitza from, meaning they're still tevel from a mincha perspective, and they get mixed with one another. If you're able to take a kmitza from each one separately, meaning they're not totally mixed, only one of them is fell on one side of the kli and the other mincha landed on the other side of the kli, and in the middle the two minachos overlap. They mix in the middle, but on the sides they're still separated. So ksheros, the both menachos are kosher, and the komets from the solas on one side of the kli that has not mixed in with the other will cover it, and the komets from the solas on the other side of the kli will cover it, and you can be makdir those kmatzma in the mizbeach vimlav. But if you're not able to take a kmitza from each mincha separately because it's totally mixed together, then psulos, then they're going to be possible. But you see that if you are able to take a kmitza from each one separately, it's kosher. So why should that be the case that it's kosher? After all, the chelik of the mincha that's mixed in with the other mincha is not touching its own komets. So you see that why is it connected? Because of tziruv kli, meaning the assumption that we're working with in the havamina is that the portion of the mincha that you're taking the komets from is physically separated from the rest of the mincha, which overlaps with the other mincha. So you have a pile in the middle of a combination of the two kabbalos mincha, and then off to the sides you have some flour that's purely from mincha number one, and flour on the other side that's purely from mincha number two. So how can my kmitza over here and my kmitza over there work for what's in the middle? It's not touching what's in the middle. Elamite tziruv kli works even for a kmitza. So amarava dilma b'kushna muchlak nasuin kmasrek. Who says that it's totally separate? Maybe it's like a fork, where the fork is wide at the bottom, but then each of the teeth of the fork come out separately, where it's all still connected as one unit. So maybe that pile in the middle is still connected to the smaller areas on the side where you're taking the kmitza from, and that's why it works. So my haviyala. So the raya wasn't a good raya. So now what's the answer to the shayla? Does it work even if they're not touching one another to take a kmitza from one half? So Amarava Toshma, I'll bring you a different raya. Titania. We have a brisa that discusses the heiru mimenu, and we darshan mimenu mina mechubar, that the mincha has to be mechubar together at the time of the kmitza. Shelo yavi isaron b'shnei kelim, that you cannot bring an isaron, a single isaron that was meant for a korban mincha that's divided up among two kelim v'yikmot, and then take the kmitza. Ooh, habekliyachad tumid b'shnei kelim kametz. Sounds like the only thing you can't do is divide the korban mincha into two separate kelim. But if you divide it within a single kli, even though it's physically divided, that's considered to be connected, and therefore the kmitza would work. So you see that tziruv kli works even as far as kmitza is concerned. So Abaye said back to Rava, Dilma shnei kelim heichidami. No, maybe when the brisa says you cannot bring the two yisronim in the two chatzi yisarons in shnei kelim, what's it talking about? Kigon kfiza bekaba. It's you have a you hollow out a small kli in the walls of a larger kli, and you put the chatzi, one chatzi yisorun into the larger kli, and the other chatzi yisorun into the smaller kli that's hollowed out in the larger kli. The afal gavda rivi me'ilai, even though the walls of the smaller kli are not so high, so the flour mixes together above the walls of the smaller kli, meaning it's mali v'gadush in the walls of the smaller kli, so it goes over the sides of the walls of the smaller kli and connects with the flour that's in the larger kli. Kivin the mifsik mechitza the kafiza mitata lo. Maybe since there's a mechitza that separates it, that serves as a barrier on the bottom of the kli, maybe that makes it that it's not considered a real chibur and it's not a real tziruf. But ha kli echa dumya d'shnei kelim heichidami gon arivas tarnagolin. But if you add one kli that's similar to shnei kelim, like an arivas tarnagolin, a feeding trough of tarnagolin, where they have a low wall to separate the water from the bran that they're feeding the tarnagolim, and they don't mix. The water does not mix with the bran. There's a, inside the large feeding trough where the bran is, there's a smaller kli that holds the water, but it doesn't overflow and touch what's on the sides. Even though when the mincha is in the kli, the mechitza is mafsik on the bottom between the two portions, hanagia, it's touching the maila, it's touching over the airspace. But when it doesn't touch at all, then you're going to have a shaila, and therefore we don't have an answer to Rav Kahana's shaila. So meaning we haven't been able to be poshet Rav Kahana's shaila. If you have two things that are in the same kli and they don't touch at all, and there's no dividing mechitza, you just have two separate things in the same kli. So I don't know if the kmitza works from one half on the other. So that's the shaila. So by Rabbi Yirmiya, another shaila relating to tziruf kli. Tziruf kli v'chibra mayim. Let's say you have a chatzi isaron that became tamei through tziruf kli, meaning you have two chatzi isarons in a kli, they're not touching one another, and a tamei person touched one of the chatzi isarons, right? That we've already been poshet. That we said that we know the answer to. That if you touch a chatzi isaron and the other chatzi isaron is in the same kli, so the whole thing is tamei. So the second chatzi isaron becomes tamei al yedei tziruf kli. But then outside of the kli, there's a third chatzi isaron that's connected through a flow of water between the chatzi isaron that's outside the kli and the chatzi isaron that was untouched inside the kli. So mahu, is the chatzi isaron outside the kli now going to become tamei? Right? So the chatzi isaron, both chatzi isaron that are inside the kli are tamei. One of them you touched and that automatically impacted the second one, but does that now stretch to the one that's connected to it through a stream of water? So kit non kli mitzarif masha betocho la kodesh hani mili degavai. When do we say the kli is mitzarif whatever's inside of it? Maybe that's only when it comes to that which is inside aval debroi lo. But it's not going to have an impact on that which is outside of the kli. Odom lo kivin de mechaber. Or do we say nah, it's connected? So as long as it's connected, it's connected. Vimtim tzilomer kivin de mechaber. And if you're going to say that once it's connected, it's connected, what if it went in the opposite direction? Chibur mayim. What if you had the same physical setup? Chatzi Yisaron, Chatzi Yisaron, not touching each other inside the kli, another Chatzi Yisaron outside the kli, connected by a stream of water, and the Tevil Yom touched the Chatzi Yisaron outside the kli. So is that now going to be metame? Both Chatzi Yisaron inside the kli. Kitran kli mitzarif. Maybe that's only if you touched on the inside. Avol mirboi lo, but on the outside not. Odimel hoshna. Or maybe it doesn't make a difference. Take who the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Yet another shaila about tziruf kli. Bayi Rava, isaron shechilko v'nitma echad mehen v'inicho bebisa. Let's say you divided an isaron into two halves. One of them became tameh, and then you put both chatzi isarons into a kli in a way that they're not touching each other, and the second half is not going to become tameh now, because tziruf only works when at the time of the contraction of the tumah, they were both in the same kli. But over here, half of the Yisarim became Tameh outside of the kli and was then placed in the kli with the other chatzi isaron. So we're assuming that they're not going to, the tumah is not going to be transmitted. But then v'chazer tful yom v'naga ba'oso tameh, then a tful yom came and touched the one that had already been tameh. So mahu, does it now impact the other one? Mia minan savalo tumah olo. Fascinating shayla, right? When something is already tameh from touching a tful yom, and then a tful yom touches it again, does that, do we say, well, you had zero impact, it did nothing, and therefore that cannot, even though now it's in the same kli as another chatzi yisaron, and had this been the first time a tvil yom touched it, it would stretch to the other chatzi yisaron, but you had no impact on the half that you touched. So if you have no impact on the half that you touched, you're certainly not going to impact the other half that you didn't touch. So, or do we say, no, that the first time you touched it, it was by itself, now it's together with something else, and therefore it does have an impact on the other half. So Amalei Abaye, Miyar Minin Savalei Tumah. Wait, is there such a concept of Savalei Tumah? Do we say this concept that a second Tumah that has no impact? Vatanan, I'll bring you a raya from a Mishnah Maseches Kelim. Not that way. Sadin Tame. Let's say Tame Midras. Let's say you have a sheet that became Tame Midras, meaning a zav lie down on the sheet. Vaso Vilon, and then you turned it into a curtain, so it's not going to be used for lying on or sitting on anymore, so it can no longer be Tamei Midras. So Tar Min HaMidras, it's Tar from Tumas Midras, because when something ceases to be a Mishkav or a Moshav, so then it's not a Tamei Midras anymore. It's no longer something that anyone's going to sit on. It's now a curtain, so it's not Tamei Midras anymore. Aval Tamei Maga Midras. But it's still Tamei as something that had touched a Midras, and therefore it's Metamei Ochlem Mashkim, meaning anything that ever touches an Avatumah becomes a Rishon L'Tumah, and therefore has the ability to be metame ochlin amashkin. So this curtain, it's not midras itself, so it's not the av hatumah. When a zav sits on something, the mishkav v'moshav becomes an av hatumah. It doesn't go down a level to a rishon tumah, it becomes an av hatumah. Midras is av, it's like a tumah yotzil of migufo. So it's not, but this isn't going to be the av hatumah anymore, because it's no longer a medras, but it's still a rishon tumah. It's like something that touched a medras. That's the way we view it. So because each part of it, it was touching the other part of it when it was a medrash. So meaning when the zav sat on it, the whole thing became tami tumas medrash. So every fiber in that curtain is touching the fiber next to it. So if it's touching the fiber next to it, it's touching a medrash. So at the time that it became a medrash, each fiber became a medrash, it also became a maga medrash. So the medrash part may have gone away, but the maga medrash never went away. So that's why we view it as a maga medrash. So I'm Rabbi Yossi, beza medrash nagazeh. What do you mean? When did it ever touch a tumas medrash? It was the Tumas Medrash, but that Tumas Medrash went away. Where did it ever touch? Meaning the only way it touched was the fiber next to it, but the fiber next to it was woven into the garment. So that's a Maga Beis Hastarim. You don't see where it's touching. You only see the surface of the garment where it's not touching. Where it's actually touching is inside the weave of the garment, where you're not able to see. So that's a Maga Beis Hastarim. Maga Beis Hastarim doesn't count as a Maga at all. Elish im Naga Ba'azav, Tame Maga Azav. It's only if a zav touches this sheet, so now it has maga, that's a maga zav, and then you turn it into a vilon, so the original tumas medrash goes away, and therefore it's not metame yadam v'kelim, but the tumas maga hazav didn't go away, and therefore it's still metame ochel mamashkim, meaning what happened over here, there was this sheet, a zav sat down on it. Tumas medrash, the whole thing just broke. Tumas medrash mida oraisa. So it's okay, I'll hold it up like this. Tumas Medrash Mida Oraisa. I shouldn't bang so much. Tumas Medrash Mida Oraisa. So it's... you have Tumas Medrash Mida Oraisa. Right, so again, the sheet, someone sat down on the sheet. So if they sat down on the sheet, it's Tamei Tumas Medrash. And then a Zav touched that very sheet. So what happens when the Zav touches that very sheet? Absolutely nothing happens when the Zav touches that very sheet. It's already Tamei Tumas Medrash, it's already an Avatumah. But then the Avatumah goes away because you hang it up as a curtain. So does what the Zav did, does that have an impact? So that's the Shaila. So Kinaga Ba Zav Mia tame. It sounds like if the zav touches it, it becomes tame. Va'afil the masof, even if the zav touched it after it was already a medrash. So va'amai, but amai, why should that be the case? Le masof le tuma. Why don't we say that it was already satiated with tuma? It was already saturated, is the better word, with tuma. So apparently we don't say savale tuma. We say that the second negia is going to have an impact. So amalei. So Rava said back to Abai, umay da haishem nagaba azav lebasar midras. How do you know that's what happened? How do you know that the zav touched it after the another zav had sat on it and had lied on it? Dilma mekame midras. Maybe it was before the midras. Tavya tuma chamura al tuma kala. In which case, of course, the second tuma is going to be chal because the first tuma was a maga hazav, which only turns it into a rishon, and then a zav lie down on it, which turns it into an avatuma. So it's much more impactful, more chamer tikatuma. Of course, it's going to be chal on a more kal tuma. Avalachat yidividi tuma kal lo. But maybe by this isaron, in our case, that you divided into two, and a tvil yom had touched it before it was in the same kli with the other chatzi isaron, and then a tvil yom touched it again. It's the same tuma over again. So maybe in such a case, we'll say savalei tuma. So elami seifa. Rather, we're going to be poshet a rava safek from the seifa of the Mishnah that it says moder Rabbi Yosi b'shnei sadin hamukupalin umunachin ze al ze v'yashav zavalein. That Rabbi Yosi is moder to the chachamim that if you have two sheets that are folded up and they're placed one on top of the other and a zav sat on those two sheets she'elyon tamei medrash v'atachton tamei medrash, that the both the top one and the bottom one are tamei medrash because medrash is even if you have 10 cushions, one on top of the other, it applies. They all become an avatuma, even the one that you're not touching. But the tachton is tamei medrash, umaga medrash, and the bottom one is not only tamei as medrash; it's also touching a medrash because it's touching the top one, which is a medrash. So the tuma, the tumas mago works that even if you were to turn any of them into a curtain, and the tumas medrash were to go away, it would still become tamei as maga medrash. It would still retain that tuma. Vamai, but why should that tuma matter? Lema savale tuma. Shouldn't we say that tuma never impacted the kli in the cushion in the first place because it was already saturated with tuma's actual medras at the time that the zav sat on it? So the maga medras should have been inconsequential, and therefore we shouldn't even be gores it. Elamai, we apparently don't say savale tuma. We assume that all types of tuma that are relevant are operative, and when some of them become inoperative, the other ones are still there, even the ones that were lesser tumas. So says Gemara, no, that's not a good raya. Hasam basachas. Over there, the tumas medrash and the tumas maga medrash happened all at the same time. When the zav sat on it, so the cushions all became medrash, and they were all touching the other cushions all at the same time. So they became maga medrash and medrash at the same time. Hacham zacharzeh. Over here, we're talking about a case where tvul yom touched a chatzi isar in a flower, and then he put it in a kli with another chatzi isar, and then he touched it again afterwards. So it's one after the other. So maybe that's still a suffix, whether we say savalei tuma, that he separate event is going to be metame in a way where it's not adding any tuma, where it's not actually doing anything to the item that you're touching. So that leaves it unresolved. Let's say you divided an Yisarin into two halves, and then you lost one of the halves, so you replaced it with another one. And then you found the first one. And now all three of them are in the same kli. Nitma avud, avud rishon mitzdarfin. If the one that was originally lost became tamei, so the one that was originally lost and the rishon and the chatzi and the first chatzi that was not lost, meaning rishon over here means the one that was the half that was never lost, are mitzdarif through the kli, and they're as one unit, and therefore both of them become tamei. But mufrash ein mitzdarif. But the one that the replacement half is not mitzdarif because it was never destined to be together with the part that was lost. It was only there to replace that which was lost. Nitma mufrash, if the one that with the replacement part became tamei, mufrash rishon mitzdarfin. It could be mitzdarif with the part that was never lost because it was meant to be with it. But avodein mitzdarif, but the part that was lost is not mitzdarif because it was never meant to be with the replacement. Nitma rishon, but what if the one that was never lost became tamei? Then shneya mitzdarfin. Then both of the other halves are going to become become tamei, because they were both meant to be with this part that was never lost at different points, but they were both meant to be with this part that was never lost. So that is what Rava says. Abaye Yomar, Abaye disagrees. He says, Afilu nitma echon mehen nami shneya mitzarfim. Even any one of them becomes tamei, they're all mitzarfim. My time ukul b'nei b'ksada adadininu. They're all considered from the same unit. They were all brought to fulfill the same chiyuv of a korban mincha. V'chein linyan kmitza. And you have likewise the same machlokas Abaye and Rava when it comes to the mitzvah of kmitza. Kamatz mina avod, if you took the kmitza for this korban mincha from the portion that was lost, shiyar of rishon ne'echalin. So that works for it and for the part that was never lost. But mufrashenu ne'echal does not work for the replacement part. Kamatz mina mufrash, if you take the kmitza from the part that was the replacement, shiyar of rishon ne'echalin. So it is and the part that was never lost are now able to be eaten as shirayim, but avod einu ne'echal. But the part that was lost doesn't get eaten. Kamatz min rishon shneim einu ne'echalin. And if you take the kmitza from the part that was never lost, neither of them can be ne'echal because you don't know which one it's really going on, which one is mitzarif with it for the korban mincha to be allowed to eat from it. Abaye disagrees. He says afilu kamatz me'echad mehen shneim einu ne'echalin. Even if you take from the mufrash or from the avud, nothing can be eaten. My time, kulunami b'nei b'ksadad adininu. All three chatzayim mincha are coming from the same place for the same mincha, and therefore they're considered one unit. And the kmitza can only be matir one isaron of flour, cannot be matir 1.5 isaronim of flour. So mask Rav Papa. Rav Papa challenges Abaye and Rava. V'shirayim didei mia ne'echalin. But you seem to be assuming the shirayim of the one that you took the kmitza from could be ne'echal. But ika danka to come still a kariv. But isn't part of the kmitza that you took covering a portion of this korban mincha that's not really part of the korban mincha, and therefore there's this extra piece mixed in with your kometz? So Masrav Yitzhak Bered Rav Misharshia, he asks on Rav and Abaye, the kometz kufei hechi kariv. How could you even bring the kometz? He could tilt to chulin. 1/3 of that kometz is chulin, because 1/3 of that kometz is going on the half of Yisaron that's not part of this korban mincha. So I'm Ravashi, kometz bedaita de kohen tali milsa. The chalos of the kometz depends on the das of the kohen. The kohen ki kometz ha'isaron ko kometz. And he has in mind that it's only covering one isaron and not 1.5 isaronim. And that's why you're allowed to burn the kometz, and that's why it's going to cover that shirayim. Tomorrow we'll pick up with the Mishnah on the top of Chaf Hei Amud Aleph.